had to do is to be able to go through these controls and just look at what we have implemented and what we haven't implemented.
Okay.
And from there we're saying, well, given the set of controls, does it provide adequate coverage or not?
Okay. So we start from the top here.
Yeah.
Information. This is in place, information security policy documentation.
Yep.
Basically, when you start here, you obviously get that document you have to sign off and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So that is quite a good control because it specifies exactly what you can and can't do. So if there's any transgression of the policy, the action taken can be dismissal or reprimand, whatever it might be. So that is in place.
Okay.
This is in place, but it's not done enough, if that makes sense. So I think the last review was four years ago.
Okay.
So it's not really reviewed that often. It should be reviewed at least on a yearly basis, but it's not. I think the reason for that is most of the stuff that we cater for in the policy is very standard stuff. There's no specialist kind of areas. You know, it's really a normal security policy that's in place. Authorization process for information processing facilities.
It
depends sort of what environment or sort of what access you're requesting. Like for instance, if you are wanting to be able to access from home, there's a process that you follow. The HOD has to sign off what you need access to, and you fill in a form that is then filed, and we can check that out later. So it's not just on a per request basis. The same thing with most access that is done is vetted by the HOD. Specifically, like access to your hosting environments, there's no written. It is a bit of a problem because there isn't any necessary written yes or no's.
Yeah.
But we try and ask the right questions because from a best practices. Development environment or developers should not have access directly to your production environment. That is not the case here, but we try and limit that sort of as we can. So it's very much, unfortunately, in our environment, we don't have a clear-cut thing because if the relevant people put the relevant pressure on the relevant hearts, we have to succumb to it. So it is a security risk in our environment because no one ever comes back to us and tells us, okay, we don't need this access anymore. So yes, there's a procedure, but it's a bit flawed, to be honest. Contact with special interest group.
Just keep
what is it? For us in security.
Yeah.
Well, basically, went around or myself, we go to a security forum group. It's like if you want to go kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's once a month. We go and we chat about different topics, different issues, read up on a lot of stuff. Also go to conferences like IT Web. So you're continually trying to meet people in the industry and learning new things in that way. That is done here. We do that at an induction.
Yeah.
Basically, I have a half-hour slot where we talk about the do's and don'ts in the company, webmail, all those viruses, those kind of things. So there is that education. There should most probably be a lot more. For instance, like now with this MSN virus, there should be some sort of email that goes out saying, listen, there is an increase, but we just hit it at the induction level right now. It's a slow process, I think. Yes, controls against malicious code, yes and no. We have antivirus that we run, which should pick up keyloggers and screen loggers and stuff like that. But the problem we have is because our software is sometimes picked up as malware, we have to deactivate certain of those controls. So people will get malware and could get spyware on the machine. And it's not because of the lack of the product, but it's because of our environment that we can't pick up our own software. So that is in place. Controls against mobile code. Okay, so it's a virus, really, what they're saying there. Mobile code is well, not a virus, but sort of a... that's the same thing as antivirus, I suppose, because that's our only level of defense against anything like this, is that if someone does plug in something or there is a connection from one computer to the next, we also try and limit this exposure by from contractors or people like that, so we'll put them in an isolated VLAN, which will not have the relevant, they'll only have specific access into the environment. So if a guy comes in with his own laptop, plugs his laptop into the environment, he'll go onto the segmented VLAN. Network controls, that is their passwords. Okay, we have none of that in place. the only network control we really have in place is our firewall. Data theft, password sniffers, packet sniffers, IP spoofing. IP spoofing you can't do just because of the well, you suppose you could internally you could IP spoof to someone else. Yeah, so if the attack is internal, you can do all of this stuff. If you try and IP spoof externally, it might be a bit of a challenge.
Okay.
But yeah, unfortunately we don't have any of that stuff in place. It is a concern. Information exchange policies and procedures. See, that is basically specified within the policy. When I said
security,
the security policy, but also in the education of people. Like when we have induction, we say, listen, don't, you know, you can speak about it, but you know, don't speak about the projects you're working on. It's mainly for your benefit, because if people you know, people will use that information, or if you say too much about something. So it's more how we try and resolve that is mainly by user education. But I'm sure that there is a lot of information exchange that happens. But we don't have this is what you're not allowed to do and what you are allowed to do. We just say for your benefit rather not, you know, because we are in this industry. Okay, so electronic messaging, basically we do run a spam filter, so we try and pick up any spam that does come into the environment. What that also enables us to do is, we can't get spoofed mails from externals, so if someone tries to send from, it realizes that it's won't work, so it can't come from the external. From if someone sends from, well, sends to you and it says from either someone internally has spoofed it, hasn't come externally. Internally, the attacks are all available. So someone can spoof you, someone spoof an email, someone can send a fake email, can do deceptive phishing, all that kind of stuff. The phishing and malware-based stuff, we don't have any, we rely on IE, basically. So if you switch off phishing and IE, it can, and also user education kind of thing, because we don't have anything in place for that. A lot of this stuff here, host file poisoning, session hijacking, that's really on your side with the code development and stuff like that. I don't think, we don't have anything from a session hijacking per se that people can take advantage of. Terminal services is pretty much an encrypted, so it's more, I think what they're talking about there is like web-based session hijacking, cookie hijacking, that kind of stuff.
To electronic commerce.
Yeah, so that'll be for more from a dev side of things. Web Trojans, we are susceptible to host file poisoning, system reconfigure attacks. All these attacks are viable. Where we try and limit it is obviously through our firewall and through the antivirus. So, for instance, a web Trojan, if a Trojan does try and install itself on your machine, antivirus should pick it up. DNS, we do restrict zone transfer, so not anyone can just change host files or DNS-based files or anything like that. System reconfiguration attacks, you know, what we rely there on is that the machines are patched and the passwords are strong enough. Content injection, that's you, and man-in-the-middle phishing, that's pretty much more from your side of things. Online transactions, once again, this is more, we don't deal with online transactions, more from a banking side of things. So what kind of implementations you have in there is more what, because we don't deal with banking.
It's, yeah.
When I say we don't deal with banking, we trust you guys. Publicly available information. There is a big problem with this at the moment because of Facebook and LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are using or where they work, like as they specify where they work.
Yeah.
So that is publicly available now, but that's most probably the only thing that's really publicly available is where you work, and then from there people can maybe do some research on you or try and attack you from an identity theft or something like that. So from publicly available information is really that and then our websites, but that just tells people that we develop software. Audit logs. See, we don't. Our audit logging, yes, we do have it, but it's. Are they saying from externally or from us audit logging?
Well, they're talking about us logging internally.
Yeah.
And then monitoring internally as well. And then the third one is that log information protection. Needs to be protected.
Trying to think of personal information that gets logged. Well, firstly, the one thing that needs to understand is that email is a company resource, so anything on there that's personal is actually company of the property, is the property of the company. But audit logging, basically all we audit log is like where you go from a website, say, and even though MSN is, you can audit it real time, we don't, because we don't have time. I mean, you have to have no life to audit people's conversations.
Yeah.
So the audit logs don't contain massive amounts of information that can be used for data theft. I mean, if it says, yeah, it may contain intrusive and confidential personal data, it doesn't really contain personal data.
Yeah.
Audit logs from a company side of things is really dependent on what kind of machine it is, because if it's like a mom auditing machine, then there's quite a lot of company related data, not personal related data. So if it's for the person that they're worried about or they're investigating, like your individual personal information, there's not much auditing on that.
And accesses like logins and logoffs and
that kind of stuff is it's not audited. There is normal logging on machines saying this person logged onto this machine. So if we need to investigate, okay, like for instance, we can monitor what your machine connects to, for instance. But it's not personal information. It's more your machine connected there. Then we'll have to jump onto your machine, check the logs on your machine. Did you log on? So it's really your login name. I suppose is available, but you still have to crack your password. So, but personal in data, it's just really your login name that is audited, and maybe some files that you accessed on your local machine. But that's still, you don't. It's not your person. I mean, as soon as someone goes onto your machine and accesses files, then it's, you know, a violation of your privacy. Even though it is a work machine, which is a whole other ball game, but it's that whole thing. Yeah, basically monitor, just have the action assist to detect unauthorized access and activities. We do that. Monitoring systems use, we use a website monitor, mm-hmm. Our firewall monitors exactly what traffic leaves the company. Yeah. So we can trace if you went to a specific IP or did something on a machine. It doesn't disclose any information from a personal per se, but from a monitoring side of things, we can know what you're doing. And also emailing, we do have logs of the last, like from a 5-day side of things, who you send to traffic if we needed to. We can't see the email, but we can see who was, like, was all your mail from a Pasna for the last 7 days. We can see who you sent to. Protection of log information. We don't have any protection of log information. The log files we back up, our firewall log files we back up, but anyone in the security department can see those log files. So
nobody outside the security?
No one outside the security department can see that. So it's very contained within the security departments of who can see the logs, but it's because of the log, because we're the only people that have access to the systems that can read the logs, kind of thing. Password use. Users shall be required to follow good practices. Well, yeah, we encourage good password use. We change passwords every, 30 days. We also try and crack your password to see how strong it is, which encourages people to change their password. You have to be of a specific, like I said, your social engineering. That is still a big concern here because people trust people intrinsically. So, hey, please, can you just help me out? Here's my log on. Just do this, So there is always that threat, and that's just the human side of things that you're going to have to try and educate past. Unattended user equipment. Session hijacking. We have that threat, and the only way we can say is you have to lock your machine. But there's no other way that we can actually we can stop that, because if someone doesn't lock the machine to go to the loo, anyone can session hijack you completely.
Yes, we know that happens quite a lot.
Yeah. Network routing control or routing control shall be implemented for network action and company. Yeah, that is in place. The networking guys handle that kind of stuff, really. And from a network routing control also is that we, outside of the building, we also restrict what access is allowed out. So you can't necessarily FTP to every place in the world, You might have specific rights, and not everyone in the company can FTP out, but from host file poisoning and stuff like that, that is very much, is a restricted amount of people who can access that system. This is a difficult one, because secure login procedures, yes, there are secure login procedures, but there are ways to get past that, So, for instance, if I wanted to, this is an attack vector that I would use if I wanted to get a domain admin or an elevated attack. I would put a sniffer on my machine, deactivate the antivirus if I could, or try and get one that doesn't get activated. Phone the help desk, say, listen, my machine's broken, please come log on. The guy comes and logs on, I get his username and password, and I've got elevated rights. So it's really difficult to secure logon procedures, really, because it's really dependent on the user as well and how malicious that user will be. User identity and authentication, this is something we are working on at the moment. At the moment, we only use username and password, which is a very flawed process because, you could be logging on SM if you wanted to. What we're hoping to get to for that, for identification and authentication, is two-factor authentication. So something you have or something you know, well, the password is something you know, something you have. So, for instance, if we use these things to have like a smart card. So in order for you to log in, you'd have to have the smart card plus a PIN. So it's something you have and something you know. So we are working at the moment. We just have the normal username and password. So if you log in as a Pasna and log username and password, then you'll get in. User authentication is in place.
Okay.
And the only way we can stop this keyloggers is antivirus again. So if they get something that can subvert the antivirus, then great. Session timeout. We don't really do anything there. That's more from, I suppose the only session timeout we do is if we give you, some people have high port access out of the building, mm-hmm. and that has a specific time frame. So if it, for 30 minutes, then it'll log you out. Same thing with, nothing from your side that you would notice. I think very much what they're talking about there is like when you do internet banking, you know, if you leave it inactive and then, but there's nothing really that we work on here that will need something like that. It's only really the type of things. Okay. No, we don't have limitation on connection time. Mobile computing and communication. That's pretty much the same thing, I think.
That's black people that work on the road and access the network.
Okay, basically what we do there is we don't give them direct access to the environment. So what they'll do is they'll use secure mode, connect via VPN client really, and then from the VPN client they will have specific access either to Citrix and then be able to work from Citrix or TS, which is... So it limits the ports that are allowed through. So even here with the packet sniffer, so you can sniff the packet that went to TS, but the TS packet's encrypted. And because you're using a VPN, actually you can't even see that traffic. Social engineering is still an issue because people are friendly and want to help everyone.
Okay.
Teleworking.
Yeah, that's okay. Home.
Yeah, that's the same. It'll be the same, exact same thing. We don't have a policy on cryptographic controls. We just pretty much use the basic, I mean, for password crackers, sniffers, packet sniffers and stuff, we'll try and use the strongest encryption or cryptographic control that we can. Information leakage. That's a difficult one as well, because I think there is quite a lot of information leakage, not necessarily of what we're working on. It depends what types of information they're referring to here. But like now, where before people wouldn't know who worked at Derivco, you can get a list of 60 people on Facebook who work at Derivco kind of thing. Yeah. So there is. It depends on what type of information leakage there is. And also, you know, but from what they're talking about here, like more web-based phishing, keyword, that's very much up to the user. We don't restrict that. So for instance, if someone goes, clicks, gets an email and clicks on a link to NetBank, but someone puts a phishing attack on that, that's just unfortunate to that user. They need to. We try and educate them, but it's really difficult. Control of technical vulnerabilities. The best thing we can do there is what we try and do is when we find a vulnerability or we find something that's like, yeah, that's all phishing attack vectors, if we know of an attack that's out there, we try and email staff and make people aware of it. So that's the only control really that we have in place. Or there is another thing that we do for like the MSN attacks now is that we try and black hole the DNS name. So if someone has to click on the link, it'll just go nowhere. It'll loop back kind of thing. So it goes into this abyss. So we try and do that for those kind of things. Basically, for reporting information security events, we use MOM. Oh, what is this? Information security events shall be reported through appropriate management channels.
That's good text.
Okay, yeah, that pretty much is either HR will report. I mean, it's a difficult one. Reporting information security events. We'll either have to at that point address the security issue and then escalate it and tell management about it. But yeah, so there is the informal. There isn't a policy or procedure to follow, but there is the like. If we have an event or if there is a security breach, then the relevant parties need to know, or we'll pull in. So for instance, if there had to be a security breach, we would then pull in someone from Dev and say, okay, let's sit in a room, let's try to figure out exactly what happened here. But then it would also be elevated to the relevant parties. That, I think, I mean, for instance, a good one on reporting security weaknesses is what's doing now with the security assessment.
Yeah.
So it's meeting with individual groups, identifying the weaknesses, and then trying to address those weaknesses as we deem as critical as they are. Nothing as such from our side, from a data protection and privacy of personal information. I would say that's more sitting in HR or admin. So they have like encrypted drives, that they have like salaries and all that kind of stuff. Your personal data is all saved on their encrypted drive. It's actually biometric encrypted drive. So only they can access those drives. But any other information besides that is actually freely available. When I say freely available, it's up to the user, really.
Are we responsible for the data that we...
For our data, what we do, the only thing we encrypt on our side is their credit cards.
Mm-hmm.
The other information currently is in clear text, but mm-hmm. what we do there is also have restrictions on who can access the databases. It's not the best. That's why there is a project now. If you see, they're actually moving because of the fact that everyone could sort of access it, and if they could hack the passwords, could get in. So they are moving it and restricting who has access, and there are better controls on who can access the database tables and stuff like that. But for instance, the credit card numbers right now, and I think they want to go towards the emails later.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to encrypt those two main parts. And those are the two main areas we're really worried about. Compliance with security policy standards. This is a difficult one because it falls outside of our realm. It's really the HOD, says your manager shall ensure. We try and enforce a lot of stuff. We try and sort of say, listen, this guy's abusing the web. And if the HOD says, well, he needs it for his work, then there's nothing really we can do. So we'll inform the manager, but it's really that compliance is in the hands of the managers of the relevant areas. So it is a tricky one.
Okay.
Technical compliance checking. We continually are trying to stay on the cutting edge. Obviously, if there's a new attack or there's better software that does specific things, we are trying to pick things up. For instance, like our web filter, it's continually downloading new databases, new search engines, all those kind of things. So we are continually checking to see that we are catering for most attacks. Like now with the MSN virus, for instance, or the increase of MSN viruses, we now need to investigate some sort of way of allowing MSN but controlling that element. So maybe Microsoft Operations Communication Manager or whatever, we need to come up with a solution because it is hurting us a bit.
Is there anything that's not there that you think is critical?
The thing is with... Because a lot of this is focused around identity theft and stuff like that, data theft and stuff. It is a very difficult element to contain without becoming Gestapo kind of thing, if you want to put it that way. Because yes, we could become very good at preventing information leakage and identity theft, but at the same time, the staff would be dejected and there would be it wouldn't be so happy. I mean, the fact that we told people about Facebook, please don't put on it, it did stir up a whole lot of things. People still have their thing, but, you know, so you've got to look at it and say, well, at the end of the day, people need to take responsibility for their identity and realize that it is a huge threat, and I think it's going to increase even more in South Africa because I think we're a bit behind the times. But at the same time, we are restricted what we can do because of keeping the feel in the company good, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine you came to work and when you logged onto your machine, all you could see was a screen. You know what I mean? You wouldn't be stoked. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and in some sense, don't like to browse much at all.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, and some companies, to be honest, put keyloggers on their employees' machines to make sure that they're not doing something funny. So you can get very strict, and there are different levels of strictness that you could implement. But from our side, I think what we're saying is we're trying to empower the user and saying, well, this is an IT company. We are an environment. So, you know, be paranoid by yourself kind of thing. And I don't just give information freely to people. I mean, this is just one attack vector from a company, but what happens if someone phones you and says they're from your bank and wants this information and post? And so what we have in place is mainly to protect our intellectual property and to sort of give a little protection towards the user, but what we're trying to say to the user is, listen, you need to protect your own identity.